Missouri.
Welcome back to another hour of Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat.
Touchdown, Notre Dame! 70 yards, Book to Lindsey.
He gets it out to Leshefsky for three.
Got it! He got it!
Caught for the win, Kyle Rudolph!
From 96.1 WSBT.
Justin Fisher heading for the touchdown, his sixth of the night.
The Washington Nationals are World Series champions.
And that's a South Bend Cup Midwest League championship winner.
And the kick is good for the win. Pinheiro with the De Niro kick.
The sports leader.
And look who's coming up.
Browner with the pitch, breaking ball, slam to right, that one going back, and it is out of the ballpark. Home run, Brian Stavisky. It's the ball game, and the Irish will play for another day. Brian Stavisky rounding the bases. There's Palminteri to greet him, and the Fighting Irish will play tomorrow night. 5-3, Notre Dame scores three runs in the bottom of the ninth inning.
It's hour three of Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat on 96.1 WSBT, Sports Radio 96.1 WSBT. Well, yesterday was the 18th anniversary of that home run you just heard, Brian Stavisky's walk-off home run versus Rice at the 2002 College World Series, and we're very glad to welcome to the show the man who hit that home run. He hit 294, or 394 rather, in 2002. That was his ninth home run, and he ended up with 57 RBIs, Mr. Brian Stavisky. Brian, how are you? It's good to talk to you. It's been a while.
Yeah, definitely. I'm great, Sean. Thanks for having me on, and it's great to think back to that whole season that culminated with that big hit and the win over Rice in the College World Series.
I can imagine. When you think of that season, Brian, is that home run the first thing that comes to mind for you, or is it maybe something else?
Yeah, I think that just the Omaha in general is the first thing that comes to mind. You know, that was the culmination of a tremendous season, and what a great team and our season as a whole. So that was the high point, you know, winning that game and hitting the home run to beat Rice in the College World Series. But, you know, there was a lot of ups and downs, and luckily we finished on a real high note. And thinking right back to that year, and that definitely is what comes to mind first, the College World Series and the time in Omaha.
Well, Notre Dame hadn't been to the College World Series in 45 years prior to that in 2002, and you had been on some really good teams your first couple years at Notre Dame. So how special was it then, and how special is it now to be that team that broke through to Omaha in the College World Series?
Well, it was definitely special, and you know, you have to give a lot of credit to the program and Coach Maneri and Coach O'Connor and the guys that had come before that. Really, you know, in the early 90s to mid 90s, they had their first NCAA tournament, I believe the spring before I came to Notre Dame, and they hosted a regional there at Notre Dame. And so the program was on the rise, that's for sure. In my freshman and sophomore years, you know, we played well. We got in the tournament again. My sophomore year, especially having guys like Aaron Heilman and Alec Porzel, and really, you know, a really good team. And we reached number one in the nation during the regular season right for a couple weeks. So really, we thought that was probably our best year, our best shot at it. And we just had some injuries, and things didn't go as planned in the regional, and we didn't advance past that. So that was a little bit of a disappointment. But really, the program itself had been building up and was on the rise. And, you know, we lost a lot of big-name guys, you know, after that 2001 season. And coming in for, you know, the 2002 season, you know, we had a lot of young pitching. Our lineup and our position players were mostly back, but really, you know, we didn't know what to expect, and right, we got off to a pretty rough start, a lot of injuries. I think we were 9-10 to start the season and 0-4 in the Big East. And then we just turned it around. Guys got healthy. We started to click. And the first couple years, you know, we started hot and we didn't finish that strong. And then that third year, the 2002 season, you know, we had an awful start and then just finished hot and everything came together at the end. So I think that that's really, you know, obviously when you want to be playing your best baseball and, you know, we finally were able to break through and win the Big East tournament for the first time. So that was a big deal. And then to win the regional, to advance to the super regional, you know, no one expected that really. And then we go and beat Florida State at Florida State to go to Omaha and then win a game in Omaha. So really, I think everyone, you know, was on that level and we finally just had to have some breaks and have everyone healthy to be able to do it. And that year we luckily did at the end of that season where we just kind of rolled through, the postseason where the years previous, for whatever reason, we'd come up a little bit short.
We're with Notre Dame baseball great Brian Stavisky, drafted by the Oakland A's in 2002 and part of that 2002 Notre Dame baseball College World Series team. So, what we're going to touch on some of those moments that you just mentioned, but let's go there to what obviously turned out to be the highlight. You had lost the College World Series, your College World Series opener to Stanford 4-3, so just a one-run game on it was a Saturday. So then you come back, you had Sunday off, and now on Monday you're trailing 3-2, going to the bottom of the ninth inning. Steve Stanley triples with one out. Steve Solman singles him home after that. So now it's a 3-3 game, and you're getting ready to step to the plate with Steve Solman, the potential winning run at first base. And as a whole, that top of the order, just 1-for-11 going into that ninth inning. You and Steve Stanley were both 0-for-4, and I think, in fact, you had struck out against the pitcher that you were facing, the lefty Justin Crowder. So now you've got Solman at first, the game's tied, Brian. What kind of things, do you remember kind of what's going through your mind and what your approach is as you're getting ready to step into the batter's box?
Well, I remember when we tied it, that took a little bit of the pressure off, you know, because starting the inning, we were down and that was our last chance. And then to have Steve Stanley hit the triple and then Steve Solman knock him in, I mean, that right there, that at least kept us alive. The game was tied. So there wasn't so much pressure on me to drive in a run or do something, you know, because the game had been tied. But I remember it was 0-for-4. I'd struck out a couple times. You know, Justin Crowder was really dominating us. And so for me, the biggest thing was once the game was tied, I was just trying to drive a ball somewhere and put a good swing on the ball because I really hadn't done that the whole game. And I think I got down 0-2, a couple curveballs. And he missed with a fastball just off the plate, and he came back with another curveball. And I guess I'd finally seen enough of the curveballs and got the timing down and was able to stay back enough to put a good swing on it and connect and drive it out of the park. So I think because I had been 0-for-4, and when I got down to two strikes especially, I was just trying to make solid contact and no expectation of a home run, and that's just how it worked out, just trying to square it up, and it went. And, you know, we had tied it, and then, you know, luckily, you know, we took care of business the next at bat and got the win.
Boom goes the dynamite. That's right. And there was a pretty stiff crosswind that you hit that through as well. And it's interesting because you said you were able to stay back enough on that ball, and it was a curveball. And I just saw on social media, I saw the replay of that swing again, and it almost looked like you were a little out front. How did it feel when you left, you know, when it left your bat? Did you feel like you had gotten enough of it?
Yeah, it just felt, it really felt like nothing. And when you, sometimes when you really hit a ball good, it really doesn't feel like anything. It just goes because you hit it so square. And, you know, I definitely was out in front, but I kept my hands back and weight back enough. And so for me, I think I was just trying to, you know, see the pitch. It was a breaking ball. And when I hit it And like you said, that crosswind, I really wasn't thinking about a home run to right because the wind, I think, was more blowing out to left center.
Yeah.
And so I think all those things just came together where I recognized the pitch. I'd seen enough of them. And even though I was a little out in front, I was able to square it up, and it just went. And I hit it hard enough that it just went through the wind and was able to get out of the park. But like I said, it just was something that I was just trying to put a good swing on the pitch and drive it somewhere. And, you know, I think sometimes when you're not thinking too much or trying too hard, then all of a sudden then you hit one and it ends up going through the wind and out of the park. And, you know, and then rounding the bases, I really couldn't believe it was happening. You know, it was almost like a dream. So that's kind of the whole feeling that it was almost like, did that really just happen because of the stage and the importance of winning the game for us, and not even expecting, not even trying to hit a home run, and then that's what happened.
I can only imagine. Brian Stavisky from the 2002 Notre Dame Baseball College World Series team hit that walk-off home run in Omaha to beat Rice, and that was the 22nd come-from-behind win you guys had, late inning come-from-behind win you guys had. Why do you think you were so good and so successful in those situations?
I think that the biggest thing is it starts, you know, with Coach Maneri, Coach O'Connor, you know, the staff, and into the culture, as well as the guys on the team. You know, everyone would play till the end, no matter what. We had a lot of exciting games the 3 years that I played there, where we might have been down and we came back, or it seemed like hope was lost and somehow we came back and won a game. And I think that you know, the maturity of the lineup and the position players definitely helped. Guys had been there, and I think that when you have experience and you know you can do it, as long as there's still innings or outs left, that we have a chance. So I think that was kind of the culture. And at that point, the things we had got done, we'd finally won the Big East tournament. We won a regional. We beat Florida State. Once we got to Omaha, it was kind of like it was the biggest stage, and there was still a lot of good baseball we were trying to play to try to win a national championship. But I think that progression, too, maybe the 2 years before of coming up a little short had built some character. And then we finally, that same group or that core group, you know, really used that to, you know, instead of come up short, to push us over the top for all those, the big wins, and especially the come from behind wins and not giving up, battle until the end of every game.
Right. Brian, you had worn a football face mask most of that season, and you were hit in the face, I believe it was against West Virginia, is that right?
Yep, so, against West Virginia.
And then it was that day, that was the first game that you didn't have it on, and they had literally put like a quarterback's football face mask on your batting helmet. So can you just kind of tell the story of that, you know, what happened against West Virginia, and then what happened that day, and why the face mask came off that day?
Well, kind of going back to the first weekend of the whole season, I had dislocated my left shoulder. And so kind of the way the whole season went, it went for me kind of like it did for the team, where a couple games in, I dislocated my left shoulder diving headfirst into third base when we opened down in New Orleans. Mm-hmm. And so I dislocated my shoulder and missed a few weeks while I came back from that injury, and then I was able to play a few weeks, and then we open up Big East play, and we're at West Virginia, and you know that at bat, the one of their best pitchers was on the mound. He spotted a slider on the outside corner, and for strike one, and then the next pitch was just a fastball up and in. I think I was probably looking away, and then 90 plus mile an hour fastball, you know, came right, you know, right at my face, and yeah. You don't have a lot of time to react, and I really couldn't move forward or backward, and it kind of just squared me up, you know, right under my right eye, and being a day game, I was wearing sunglasses. So luckily it didn't hit the sunglasses and do more damage. But it basically felt like a sledgehammer hit me in the face. And so from that injury, I was out again for a few weeks. Right. There were some fractures, but luckily nothing was displaced. I didn't have to have surgery, but I just had to take a few weeks and let it start to heal. So that was, my start of that season was pretty frustrating with a shoulder dislocation. I came back for a few weeks, then get hit in the face, and I'm out again. But being Notre Dame and the football school that it is, it was pretty neat to have them just grab a football face mask and fasten it on my batting helmet. And they did that, so there was no way I could get hit in the face. After a couple weeks, they cleared me to play again, and that way I could still play while my face was healing. And it definitely was interesting. You get some of the baseball and softball face masks have face masks built on them, but right. It's pretty unique when you have my regular Notre Dame baseball helmet with a quarterback face mask strapped, onto it. So it was pretty neat. It was a little weird at first, and I took some time to get used to, but after a while I could see out through and I didn't think much of it. And from that point on, luckily I didn't get hurt the rest of the year. I started playing pretty well. Everyone else was getting healthy and we just came together. And so I wore that the rest of the regular season, and they told me that I could take it off. Once we got to the postseason, I didn't need to wear it anymore, but I had gotten so used to it that I just kept wearing it. So I did through the Big East tournament, the regional, the super regional, and I did wear it the first game in Omaha for the College World Series. But from all the times that I had pulled it, like the ear flaps apart to get it on with the face mask, it had started to crack. And so I wasn't sure if they were going to be sticklers about a crack in the helmet and, that it wasn't safe to use in the College World Series. So I didn't need to wear the face mask. So that game against Rice, I just bought, I think it was Brent Weiss. I used his helmet without a face mask. And that was the first game without it. And, I probably was thinking after the first four at-bats, man, I wish I had my face mask back on.
Exactly.
But finally, I guess maybe that fifth at-bat, I got used to no face mask again. And but that was really it. I could have stopped wearing it sooner, but I kept wearing it. It was kind of a cool, unique thing, and I'd gotten so used to it. But I just didn't want to take a chance when they inspected equipment at the College World Series for them to say, no, you can't use this, it's cracked.
Right.
Just from all the times pulling the ear flaps apart to get it on with a face mask. So luckily it worked out to end up finally coming through against Rice without the face mask on there.
Brian, I've got just a couple more questions before we let you go. I wanted to ask you about, because you've kind of referenced it a couple times, you guys went to the Super Regional, Florida State in Tallahassee, Florida. They had won 25 games in a row. They're the number one team in the country going into that weekend. So, I mean, it was a pretty big challenge for you guys. And then in game one, in the very first inning, your first at bat, they've got kind of their own green monster type thing, but it's in right field. And, of course, you're a big left-hand batter. And in the first inning, you smoke a three-run towering home run over that wall out there in right field. And so I guess my question is to you, how would you describe the atmosphere at Dick Houser Stadium, in that game, and how important was it for you to maybe get that home run and sort of set the tone for the weekend?
I think it helped a lot. I think as a team, once we won our regional, we knew we were going down to Florida State and it was going to be a challenge, but I think that, like I said, with the maturity and the culture and the belief that we had in the team, in our team, that we could just go and play with anyone. We went down there and, we knew it was a great baseball atmosphere, and I think we embraced it instead of, shied away or feared it. So, some of us too, we had played with some of the Florida State guys in summer ball, like the Cape Cod League Alaska. And so, yeah, they were the number one team. They had won 25 in a row. They were basically penciled in to go to Omaha and probably win it. But I think that we knew that they were just guys like us. And we had played with them and against them and competed with them and against them. And so I think that really set the tone, having a home run the first inning, and then we continued on and won that first game. So that really helped. They bounced back with winning game two. So I think it was, you know, game three, it was, you know, down to game three, and, you know, we had a real good pitching performance and a low scoring game. You know, it was more about pitching and defense that third game. But I really think that it was the overall maturity of the team to be able to go into a place like Florida State and beat them when they had won all those games in a row and they were number one. But it was definitely important the first game to get out on top. And that was another one where, you know, I just put a good swing on it and then it was gone over the monster out there in right field. And all of a sudden we had the lead. So, that was huge though. And it definitely got us off to a good start that game that helped us end up winning that series.
Well, Brian, you're obviously known more for your bat, but I'll say that in that game three where you guys won 3-1, there's a play you made in left field. I think it was at the end of the eighth inning where you made a diving catch down there to end the inning and potentially preserve, you know, keep Florida State from scoring a run. And I just remember the guys in the bullpen, you dove right by the fence and the guys in the bullpen were just, you know, going nuts. And obviously you guys ended up sealing it after that. So another great memory from both that weekend and that run. Brian, we appreciate you joining us. It's been great catching up to you. Great to talk to you again.
Sean, thank you very much for having me. And, you know, good luck out there. Good luck to the Irish, all the teams, once everything resumes. And really, it's been fun catching up, thinking about the 2002 College World Series and that home run against Rice. And I'd just like to say congratulations, too, to Coach Maneri and Coach O'Connor and, you know, from what they've done, you know, at LSU and Virginia and
Absolutely.
Winning national championships. And best of luck to the current Irish baseball team.
All right. Absolutely. Great. Thanks again, Brian. Brian Stavisky from the 2002 Notre Dame Baseball College World Series team. If you missed any of the interview, of course, you can go back in the SportsBeat app and you can listen. And we actually played earlier in the show the bottom of the ninth inning from that dramatic win over Rice. Thanks again, Brian. We will talk to you later. And Budweiser's Weekday SportsBeat will continue with more next on Sports Radio 96.1 WSBT.